I would like to just give a little disclaimer here today. I apologize to the men in the audience because some of you are going to hate me after this message, because what I'm going to share with you today is really going to help your marriage, but your flesh isn't going to want to do it. And I know this for a fact because I'm a man, and I know that sometimes things, you know, in God's Word, sometimes challenges me. Now, it's not really going to be that bad, but, you know, I come at life from a perspective where I understand that there's a battle going on right now. And the battle that we have is going on inside of us. Because as a believer, right now, the Spirit of God has come to live inside of us. And that's the Holy Spirit. And that's what happens when we're born again, or that we've asked Jesus Christ to come into our life. Well, as He has come in to live inside of us, there's also the old nature, that old fallen nature that tries to stick up its ugly head. Has anybody ever noticed that after you got saved, you weren't perfect yet? And if you think you are, just ask your spouse and they will tell you the truth, right? You're not perfect yet. We're not there yet. So this battle that goes on is an ongoing battle as long as you are breathing. So as long as you have breath, as long as you're alive, you're going to have this fight. And we can get the victory and we can walk in a certain level of dominance, you know, in our life with the things of God, but it's going to take a little bit of effort on our part. And that's where, you know, it separates the men from the boys, for lack of a better term. Because the spiritual side of our life does take a little bit of effort, because it's not a normal method of behavior that you and I are used to. So as we look at this today, my hope is to help you in your relationships, because what I'm going to share, you know, can be, I guess, we look at it from the idea that it's with our vertical relationship with God, but I want us to also look at it, some of these techniques that I'm going to share today. They're so simple, but it's going to help us with our horizontal relationship, especially with our spouse. And we're going to get to that here. Now, healthy relationships, remember we're talking about connecting relationships, and that's our premise of where we're going with, and in honor of February being, you know, Valentine's month, and today is Valentine's Day, and, you know, just to make it up to you guys, I got you guys a treat today, and the women too, a little sucker up here that'll maybe smooth things over between us. But I have noticed, and relationships are hard because it comes by different personalities. Now, as I shared last week, my personality is I could just be as happy leaning up against the wall watching people. I enjoy watching people. I don't have to talk to be happy. Now, some people have to talk to be happy. I'm not one of those people. But I do know this, that I have to go out and work at try to build relationships. And the healthy ones are really hard to get going because some relationships that we have are very superficial. And we really desire, I believe, more depth in our relationships. And it's harder to maintain a relationship sometimes than it is to obtain a relationship. Because what happens is that along the process, especially us men, we go along through life and we're conquer-oriented. And our goal is to get the woman, and once we get the woman, we go on to the next thing. And if we're not careful, we lose the woman in the process. And that does happen. So we need to be mindful of this to be aware of it. Now, not all the blame lays on the men. I'm just going to throw that out there too. So getting on the same page at the same time sometimes is a miracle, especially in a marriage. After you've been married a while, you know, getting both the husband and wife on the same page, my land, very difficult. You know, I love autopilot. I don't fly. I know some people do. But I know if I was a pilot, autopilot would be real cool. You know, I've never been in those driverless cars yet, but, you know, I watched them on TV. They're not really perfected yet. It looked like they were going to crash going around a corner one time watching it. But that autopilot's really neat in the right place. But if you and I put our relationships on autopilot, it won't be long, and then there's going to be a breach. There's going to be a division that comes in there because lack of connection. You know, connection has to stay there. Once you unplug your lamp from the socket in the wall, you lose the light. And that's the same with sometimes relationships on how we do. So I want to challenge us today to look at our relationships with a fresh set of eyes. Now, the scripture that I've chosen today, I felt the Lord lead me, is found in John chapter 17, and it's verse 14 to 21. John chapter 17, verse 14 to 21. Jesus is speaking here. He was talking to his disciples. It was his last hours. I don't know what that would be like. To be in my last hours. I know that the end is coming just right around the corner of my life. And there's some things that he wanted to impart to his followers because he wasn't going to be with them anymore. The Holy Spirit was going to come and take his place. Now he's speaking here and he's talking to the Father. He says, I have given them your word and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also sent them into the world. For their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they themselves may also be sanctified in truth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word. That they may all be one, this is a key, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. See, there's a key in unity that gives off a presence to the world so that they see the reality of God on this world. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the opportunity you've given us to worship you in these last days. We know that there are challenges that are set before us, obstacles that the enemy has set in our way. But I thank you that we are more than overcomers through the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And Lord, right now I just testify that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I ask you to sit on the thrones of our heart. Lord, I pray that you use me right now. I yield to the gift you give me. I use it for your glory. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. And for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, Jesus was throwing this out here, and the idea of us as believers being in the world but not of the world, and that's kind of a key component on how we have to look at this today. Now, a little recap about last week. Remember we looked at Amos, and it talked about how you cannot walk hand in hand with somebody unless you agree. You know, so if you're going to walk hand in hand with somebody going through life and you're connected with your hands, you can't go different directions. Because once the one person starts to go a different direction than the other, their hand, the connection is broken. So we looked at that from that perspective on how important it is that we make sure. So you just don't want to enter in a relationship with somebody, anybody. You want to make sure that you guys are compatible when you enter into that relationship with somebody. Next, we looked at the idea of how you and I need to enjoy the journey. You know, sometimes we focus on the destination and that we're so focused on getting there, we forget that we're not there now, we're here now, so we need to enjoy where we're at now because what happens is as we're on the journey helps us grow so that when we get to the destination, we'll be mature enough to handle it. And I will say this, that in any relationship we have, there's a level of maturity that starts to take place as you start to grow, as you start to take that walking hand in hand with somebody. And that's especially exemplified through the marriage covenant, the covenant when you say, I do. And then you start to work with somebody and you start to go that way. Remember, I talked last week as a disclaimer, I really thought I was spiritual till I got married. And that's true. My wife will testify that if I give her a chance, but I'm not giving her the microphone today because she would tell too much. You know, but we come out of Bible school, everybody thought we had it together. And then we jumped into that relationship getting married. And all of a sudden, like I said, you know, we could handle each other for 4 or 5 hours at a crack when we were dating. But when we got married, we were thrown into this thing together and we switched each other 24/7. It changed. It changed. The real me started to come out. The real her started to come out. And then we started to learn things about each other. And what was the scary part is that I learned things about myself, which I didn't like, because I was not as spiritual as I thought I was. I was very selfish. And selfish is one of those things that we have to deal with in any relationship. Are you loving me now? Amen. Good stuff, right? Now, relationships have to be about all parties involved. Now, the reason why I say this is sometimes as a Christian, you know, we get the mentality that we put the other person first. And that's good. We do have to have that. But in my opinion, you're going to be frustrated if you don't try to work out and negotiate in the relationship so your needs are met also. Because if you're always putting the other person first, it won't be long. It may take a day, a month, a year, but you're going to end up frustrated. So you have to be willing to communicate with your partner your feelings and the things that you know, feel that are necessary in this relationship. Because if we don't, you know, then we're not going to really grow to the level of maturity. Because really what's happening is that you're letting that other person be selfish and they're never really having to grow. And we need to grow. Now, the first point I want to look at today is that we are in the world, but not of the world. And I want to challenge us in this thinking right now, because sometimes we as believers try to emulate the world system on how they build relationships and how they deal with relationships. You know, we live in a fallen world that deals with a different set of values now and a different set of rules that people operate by. You know, the old rule that do it to them before they do it to you. You know, that's in the world. But in the kingdom of God, you know, we do as the others as we would have them do unto us. So it's a different perspective on how to look at it. And, you know, maybe you've been hurt in a relationship and, you know, things like this. We all have. You know, I don't know anybody who's never been hurt in a relationship. The only person that is never hurt in a relationship is a person that's not really invested in that relationship. Because as we open ourselves up and become vulnerable, then that's when things start to happen. That's when the real us comes out, and that's when some of the pain and the difficulties, because, hey, we all got issues. We mentioned that last week. Everybody has issues. There's not a one person that doesn't have any, and then we have to understand it. Now, hopefully you figured this out right now, but the world hates you. If the world loves you, you're doing it wrong. You're compromising. Now, the world hates us, maybe not per se because what we do, but they hate Jesus in us. Because there's the spirit of the world that is out there. I'm getting kind of more into spiritual things today. The spirit of the world hates us because of Jesus Christ in us. And that's common. So you're going to experience that from time to time. And we need to be aware of that. Now, how the world bases its relationships is more on the sense realm. Now, remember when I opened up today, I talked about the battle that is raging inside of every believer. Because on one hand, we got the Spirit of God, which is trying to have dominance in our life. And I've always explained this, and because I read this one time, is that it's like them old movies, those old World War I movies, where they were fighting for a hill, and they had trench warfare. And on one side was the enemy, and the other side was our guys. And they were fighting over this little piece of ground, and an incremental change. It may take a while, but incremental change, they would keep gaining ground until they finally possessed the ground. And really, that's what's happening inside of us right now, is that there's incremental change. Now, sometimes the change is fast, but most of the time, after a while, it usually gets to be incremental change as we start to change things in our life. And then the Holy Spirit starts to rule and reign. Now, the reason why I say that is what happens is that you and I sometimes try to base our relationships based on worldly standards. God forbid, watching the Hallmark Channel. How many of you guys, my land, I just survived the Christmas ones. Now we're in the Valentine's Day ones. You know, I can never measure up to that guy. I never can. It's tough. You know, maybe by God's grace, and if I really wanted to, yeah, perhaps. But, you know, I don't know if I really want to be that guy, you know, on Hallmark, man. It's just not me. You know, I'm trying to get better, but my land, it's too much pressure all the time. But see, the world bases its relationships based on the senses, and that's the flesh realm. And to explain that a little bit, you know, we're based on what we see. You know, when you see somebody, sometimes there's that connection, you know, are they hot enough? You know, is there that, my eye check, you know, yeah, they caught my eye. Are they hot enough? Or, after you've been in it for a while, are they still hot enough? That's where the maintenance of our relationship gets in there. We've got to be careful. Are they still hot enough? And see, if we're judging it by the world standards, this is part of it. Next, we go by feel. Do you turn me on? Do I feel the spark? Is that there? Is that connection there? That little pitter-patter, that thump that goes in your heart. And then gifts. First you hear flattery. I mean, are they flattering me enough? Are they telling me how good-looking I am or all these things? All that factors into the world system. Now, we do need to speak words of life and encouragement. You know, that is part of the deal. But and sometimes, you know, in the world, you get gifts. You know, you got to buy that diamond or you got to, you know, buy these things to really show how much you love them. You know, I know for me, I've known my wife a long time, is that I know that my wife likes different kinds of flowers. And this year I went all out and I got her Pillsbury. Amen. None of that generic stuff this year, man. This is Valentine's Day. This is a big day for me. So we got that Pillsbury. It's the good stuff. You know, it's really sifted better. No lumps. But you know, that's just sometimes how we look at things. Now, the sense-based things factor in when you're finding a mate. Now, I ain't gonna lie to you. When I seen my wife, I thought she was hot. Still do. And when I, you know, and this was in church I seen her, man. You know, I mean, there was just that connection. I was drawn to her. And that's normal. Those things are normal that we have to factor in. But, you know, we can't stay in the flesh realm if we're ever going to have a successful relationship for the long haul. We have to get out of the flesh realm and get over into the other area because, you know, what happens is that sense-based relationships lack one special ingredient. And that special ingredient is the secret sauce. And to me, that secret sauce is spiritual intimacy. Spiritual intimacy. See, there's a different kind of intimacy between spiritual intimacy and just physical intimacy. Now, the word intimacy, what it means, it's a close, familiar, and usually affectionate or loving personal relationship with another person or group. Now, as we went into last week a little bit, is that physical intimacy can trick us into thinking that we have emotional intimacy with somebody. Because what's wrong with our culture is people get attracted to each other physically first, and then they go too far in the relationship where there's an unhealthy connection there, and it lies to them. They think, whoa, I'm connected to this person. But they never took time to build the emotional and the mental intimacy part in their life. And that's why so many times these relationships unravel. It's like when you get a thread out of a sweater, you know, and you pull on that thing and it just starts to unravel and it falls apart. Because the whole thing was built upon really technically a lie. The lie that the flesh has come in or the devil, thinking that this relationship only works in the sense realm. And when it's built on the flesh and not the spirit, that's when we start to get in trouble. And that's why you and I need to be going for spiritual intimacy in our life. Now, spiritual intimacy, you probably never maybe connected those two words together. But yet, to me, they do because I have experienced this myself with my God, but also, thankfully, with my wife. And that's what we need to be going for. is the idea of this spiritual intimacy. Now, if our relationship gets to the place that intimacy, because that's really what each of us want. I mean, it's there. Men, even we want that intimacy, that connection, that closeness, even though we don't maybe understand it all the time. You know, like the old joke, the wife asks her husband, "How do you feel?" "Well, I'm not hungry. I'm not tired. I'm good." She wasn't asking that. She was asking for those deeper feelings that sometimes we suppress and we hold down. Now, the idea with spiritual intimacy and what all that does, it's going to open us up to a new realm, because what happens if you and I do not grow the relationship to the area of intimacy that's needed, isolation is going to come in. Now, if you ever felt isolated in a relationship, maybe you felt, you know, you were in the group or in the relationship, but you just didn't feel a part of it. You were, for whatever reason, a barrier or some sort of brick wall had been established, and it's drawing you away or drawing you out of that relationship. So intimacy is something that we need to develop, because we got to get past just the physical intimacy. You know, hugs are good, but, you know, you need more than a hug every now and then. You know, you need a little deeper kind of connection. So how do you and I develop spiritual intimacy? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I have three simple components that you already know, but yet you probably have not used yet. And what I like to look at today is the ERT. The ERT is what I call it, which is Enhanced Relationships Technique. Now, these are techniques that you and I can use to be able to develop that intimacy. And this is where the men's going to leave me now, some of them, because these are going to take some effort. Now, as I talked about worship earlier and different things, you know, you'll see where I'm getting to. Now, the problems that you and I have in life are usually more of an application issue than an information issue. You and I have all kinds of information at our disposal. Like I said, Hallmark's a good one to learn how that stuff works, right? But also you can Google stuff, or, you know, you've been trained, and, you know, hopefully you've learned some things along the way. So I think most of us probably have enough information at our disposal, at our disposal to able to get us to an intimate relationship. And however you want to read into that, that's fine. As I said, this is more dealing with marriage issues today, but you can use some of this over into other issues too, although you can't go all the way to the marriage part. Amen? So, it's mostly an application. Now, we primarily know what to do, we just don't want to do it. What happens is, as you go through life, now when you get married or you're on the honeymoon phase of your relationship, you know, you just got that excitement. You can't wait to get home. You want to see the other person. And you're just so excited because you've been away from each other for several hours today. And you're just excited. But then over a process of time, you know, you come home and maybe the newness has wore off. And now, you know, it comes, oh man, I got to do that. I got to do this. I got to cook supper. I got to, you know, the kids start coming and, you know, all that. And you start to get wore out. Start to get tired. I mean, one of the things that offended my wife, which I didn't mean to do, is that sometimes when I first would come home, I would set out in the driveway in my truck, and I would take a few minutes to pray and to just relax a minute and to get in the presence of the Lord. Now, she took it that I didn't want to come in and be with her when she caught me out there one day. I don't know how she caught me that day, but she come out the door, and there I am sitting in my truck, you know, just going, "What are you doing?" "Oh, I'm just taking a few minutes to myself." But, you know, she didn't like that for whatever reason until we kind of talked about it a little more, and then it was all good. You know, what I like to do is when I come home is I like to just sit down and talk to my wife for a few minutes, just kind of catch up on the day. You know, sometimes I'll just sit there. I have this chair I like to sit on where I can lean back and, you know, in the kitchen, and she's in there doing something. And that's just the way we connect with each other, to reconnect for the day. But the idea of doing the spiritual side of relationships, I think, is grossly underdeveloped. You know, we need to do Jesus at home. Now, what you're going to find out, if you can ever get to the place where you start to develop spiritual intimacy, now, it is hard sometimes because both people have to be on the same page, but I think we can get there through prayer and understanding of each other. And these three things we're going to look at, they're going to help us, you know, in these relationships. And they're simple to do, but like I said, your flesh isn't going to want to do it. The first time you do some of these, especially a couple of them, you're going to hate it. Your flesh is, it's going to crawl. It's going to, you know, you're just going to feel weird because it's different. And it's just going to change your whole dynamic, how you look at things. Now, the first one, and like I said, these are very simple. The relationship for spiritual intimacy needs to be based on the Word. And you probably, hopefully, already knew that. But the idea of what the Word is, because Jesus said that the Word sanctifies them in truth. Now, the word sanctify is set apart. And the Word of God helps us because it keeps us on the same page together. Now, you and your wife may be totally different personalities, or you and your husband. But the common ground that we have, I believe, can be the Word of God. And that's going to keep us together on the same page, because what I found out in my life is the Word of God puts boundaries in our life to live by, because one of the boundaries is the idea of trust. Now, trust is very important in any relationship. Now, I know for myself, I trust my wife explicitly, and I know she trusts me. There's no doubt in either of our minds that we will ever be unfaithful. And one of the things that helped establish that trust is the fact that we use the Word of God in our marriage. And the Word of God has given certain boundaries for relationships. And there is no doubt in my mind that we will always be faithful to each other till death do us part or we kill each other. Amen? Come on now, I'm telling the truth, ain't I? Sometimes, you know, it can happen. But the idea of developing that trust, because the Word of God sanctifies us in truth. Now, there's an anointing and a power. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, look it up at your leisure. It talks about how that the Thessalonian church accepted the Word of God for what it was, the Word of God, not men. And on that, it's able to perform its work in you who believe. As I said, when we started out, it was rough. We jumped out of Bible school and we were considered very spiritual people in the school. You know, some of the leaders in the school who are to get her done kind of guys, you know. And when we went through marriage counseling, the pastors never really pressed us like they should have because they thought we had it together. I'll be honest, our marriage counseling, it was good, but they never pressed with certain questions like I believe they should have, as I know as a pastor now, because they just assumed we knew the Word. But when it comes to application, that's when, you know, the rubber met the road. So then we found out, and I'll be honest, both of us hated being married. Just hated it. I mean, but I knew what the Word said. And that was my boundary. And I kept that boundary there. And that's as far as I want to go into that now. So I encourage you to get into the Word of God. Now, there's grace there. Hey, we made all kinds of mistakes. You know, I assume she prayed I would die, I'm guessing. You know, you didn't? I thought you told me you did. You thought about it. You know? But, you know, that's just how rough it can be. Because I know anytime you get in those close relationships, and you know, the enemy was in there. The enemy wanted to divide us because, you know, there had been certain prophecies, you know, during our wedding ceremony about what we was going to do and stuff. So I know the devil is out there trying to bring division. But see, the Word of God, it's a boundary. It keeps us safe. So I can't stress enough that families, husbands and wives especially, you know, spend a few minutes together in the Word. You know, you're going to feel uncomfortable doing it the first time or maybe the first few times. But it's going to build an intimacy there that you've never had before. Secondly, is praying together. Now, praying together is the idea of not just praying over food. You know, God is great, God is good, let us thank Him for our food. Pass the taters. Amen? You know, that's kind of... I'm talking about actually talking. You know, prayer is this talking to God. And what I found out is that Jesus actually prayed for unity, not to those who were there, but those who would believe in their word. And really, that's talking about trickle-down us, because we are a byproduct of the apostles' preaching. You know, the church was developed over the years. So, you know, he prayed for unity and how we can do that. And spiritual intimacy is developed by people who pray together. Now, when my wife and I, after we were engaged, we didn't do it when we were just dating as much. I know we probably did a little bit. But after we were engaged is when we started to really do one-on-one prayer meetings, where we were there together praying for our future. And what happens when you hear somebody pray, you hear their heart, right? When you pray with somebody, you hear their heart. And I liked what I heard. I liked how she prayed. And I think she liked how I prayed. And we started to develop that spiritual intimacy that comes not just on the word. Because if we were baking something here, like making some pancakes, you got eggs, you got flour, you know, you got different things, and you need all the ingredients together, or you ain't going to get what you want. Now, I don't really like flour, but I love pancakes. Flour's in pancakes. Pillsbury sometimes even. Amen. Now, I've cut down on the pancakes lately due to goals in my life, but you know, my great grandma, she made me pancakes every Saturday, and that's just the way it went. She spoiled me, and I know that. So the idea of this intimacy that can be developed between a husband and wife, and you know, prayer journals, and you know, whatever you thing, you can pray for your kids, you can pray for your relationship. You know, I'll be honest, your flesh is gonna crawl. You're not gonna like it sometimes, because you're gonna feel weird. Maybe doing it for the first time, you know, or like I said, the first few times. So you're going to have to develop that and get it there and try to pray for each other, bless each other. One thing that we do in our family on birthdays, we all take turns praying for the birthday person. They sit in a chair, and we all take turns laying hands on them and praying over, blessing them. Because that's something that we can do as we pray. Because as we get our hearts connected, that helps us to get on the same page. Now, it's hard to pray, because what happens in prayer? You get in the presence of God. It's hard to go into the presence of God when you're actually irritated at this next person. You know what I mean? That you're praying with. So you start to deal with your attitudes. I can't afford to get mad at my wife today. You know, we're going to pray together. And I prayed mad. You know what I mean? It's like, boom, bouncing off. You know, you know, nothing happens. So I've learned that. And I believe, men, we need to step up and be the leaders in our family and to step out and to do that. You can get daily devotional books. There's so much information out there. When we first started out, we didn't have nothing. You know, now today, you got the internet and the outer net and the upper net and all them different kinds of nets. And you got YouTube, which we're going to go into here in a minute. My next point is worship. Singing together as a couple. Now, we did this last Friday night. And one of the kids came in and said, "What are you guys doing?" You know, but I opened up some YouTube stuff, and no, we've done it. We don't do this all the time, but it just builds it. Now, what I found about worship, have you ever watched people when they sing together? Usually what happens is that when they end up looking at each other, they start smiling. There's a connection. I don't understand it, because like you know, I'm not a very good singer, so this isn't really my wheelhouse, but I do make a joyful noise, and that's, you know, that's just how I roll. I love to sing to God. You know, there was a time when I worked with a guy 10 years ago. I didn't know this, but he called me the singing electrician. That's just how he looked at me. I was always singing. I wasn't aware of it. But joy was just bubbling out. But what would happen then, I wouldn't maybe do it with my wife. Now, when we're driving down the road sometimes, have the radio on, we'll start singing together and just worshiping God. But worship brings spiritual intimacy, because what happens is that when you're worshiping, you know, and Jesus did this, because you're singing a word together. In Matthew 26:30, after he had taken communion, he said him and his disciples sang a song together, sang a hymn together. And it's important what it does, because in the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles 5:14, it said when they were all singing and singing the same thing, because when you worship, unless you're like me, I make up the words as I go sometimes if I don't know them, but you're technically singing the same words at the same time in the same key. I'm one out of three on those. You know, I'm singing at the same time, but I have my own words and I have my own key. You know, but I try. With YouTube, it's good because the words come right across the screen. And that helps you. So then I do this, and we're doing this together. And then what happens is that the anointing starts to manifest. Now, what the anointing, just for lack of a better term, is the idea, it's a concept of the presence of God. Now, I don't know about you, but how many of us think that the presence of God in our marriages might be a good thing? I think it is. Because what happens is the one of the most dangerous things on this planet is a husband and wife who are unified together. They're an unstoppable force. Because when you get on the same page with your spouse and you're heading the same direction, you know, good things can only happen. Good things can only happen. And we need to get to that place, you know, in our walk with God. So as I mentioned, these three things have the thing in common: the word, the prayer, the worship, you know. And as we get that anointing coming, you know. Now, far as single people here today, I just don't want to have this whole message for, you know, people that are married. I think single people can find prayer partners. What I would encourage you to do is that, if you're single and you lack that kind of connection in your life and you need it, I would encourage you not to pray with somebody of the opposite sex. I would say, like, if you're a man, you ought to find another guy, or a girl, another girl. Because the dangerous thing can happen. Now, here, I'm going to give an illustration. You know, let's say you're at work and you're a man. Let's say your marriage is struggling a little bit. You and your wife are on the same page, and, you know, you're working with a woman, and you can notice she's having a bad day, and you ask her what's going down. And she says, well, me and my husband are fighting a little bit, you know. And I was like, well, let's pray together for our marriages. Well, that sounds good, but that can be very dangerous. If you get together with this person on a continual basis and pray together, believe me, there's going to be some sort of intimacy that can be developed that may not be healthy. Because you're going to get a connection that was never supposed to be connected. I'm not saying you can't pray for each other, but I'm saying be careful. So if you're single or and struggling and you need somebody in your life, you know, I encourage you to find somebody, you know, like that, you know, to help you along this way, to help you along the path, because, you know, we all want to get there. You know, I think, you know, married wives who are pretty secure in their walk with God would be a great mentor for some of the young single girls or single women, you know, to help them along the way and encourage them so they don't settle. The worst thing that somebody can do is settle for something mediocre when God has something great. You know what I'm saying? But when we get in the flesh, when we go by feelings, then we start settling for something that maybe wasn't really supposed to be ours. So when the world says, let's take our relationship to the next level, you know, it's different because they're looking at the physical or sense realm. And when us Christians are looking at the idea of taking our relationship to the next level, you know, we know that's talking about spiritual intimacy. And we need to get there through the word and through prayer and also through worship. Now, as I mentioned, I'm going to give you everybody out a sucker today because they had to put up. I know some of you men, I'll be honest, there's times when I, you know, especially if I'm not where I need to be as a husband, I hate stuff like this because now I'm going to have to do something to fix a problem that I don't want to deal with. But I want to challenge you today that God has something great for you. He has a relationship in store for you that's going to build that spiritual intimacy where you and your spouse can be a force on this world that's going to make an impact to be able to change this world. Even if you're just a light, I'll be honest, Most people want a healthy relationship in their marriage. They want that connection. You know, I know a lot of guys, and, you know, especially this day, you know, working with them, you know, they talk about their old lady. You know what I mean? Or, you know, how they, this, you know, they trash talk their wife at work and how she does this and she nags him all the time. And then on Valentine's Day, they make a big deal out of getting her some flowers. And I'm not talking Pillsbury there. You know what I mean? Roses and, you know, doing all this stuff. To me, that's nice you got the flowers. But what about the other 364 days? Amen? What we need to do. So I want to challenge today that, you know, maybe in the next month or so, as we especially come up to this 21-day fasting, you know, maybe choose to be a part of that. And as we do this devotional, maybe you can do it together, because I'll be honest, if you get your relationship with your, you know, significant other, you know, in a stronger place, you know, it's going to go well for you. It's going to go well. Let's pray.